Welcome to the Fat Fuel Family Podcast, where every week Danny and Maura Vega discuss topics that help families live a healthy and active lifestyle with their little ones, including nutrition and training, peaceful parenting, education, and mindset. To stay up to date, make sure to hit subscribe on this podcast and check out the blog at www.fatfuel.family. You can also find them on Facebook and Instagram at dannyvega.ms, at fatfueledmom, and at fatfueledkids, and Fat Fuel Family on YouTube. Enjoy the show.
Hey everybody, I just wanted to take a quick minute to talk about our sponsor, Keto Brick. As you guys know, I have been around since the very beginning when it was just an idea, when Robert was getting ready for the show that took him pro and he needed something to help him hit his macros. And I've seen it grow into the company it is today. Just so proud of my friend, and I'm so proud of the company he's built, the people he's been able to help, as he has several people who work for them. And so he's actually helping people make a living doing this now, which is just unbelievable and so inspirational to me. If you don't know what keto bricks are, they are shelf-stable fat bombs, for lack of a better term. They are 1,000-calorie bricks, and they have great ingredients. They have ketogenic macros, usually like 88 to 90 grams of fat with 30 grams of protein, and then the carbs are anywhere from 9 to 14. Super low-carb, super keto-friendly, and you can do all types of cool stuff with them. I tell everybody, my favorite is Keto Brick cereal. I chop it up into little chunks and serve it with a bowl of cereal with almond milk or goat milk, which is my favorite. They have several flavors. They now have vegan and whey options. So they have the whey protein peanut butter, as well as the old school pea protein peanut butter, which either one of them is easily in my top two. Go back and forth between those and the toasted almond coconut. So definitely go to www.ketobrick.com, get yourself some bricks, and use Vega for a chance to win a whole month supply of bricks. Welcome to the Fat Fuel Family Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Vega, and I'm joined by my fashionista. Oh,
it's always like a new adjective.
My fashion mogul wife. How are you, my love?
I'm good, feeling fashionable.
Yeah, and feeling like this month you're doing awesome.
Yeah, I'm doing great.
Yeah, I'm super.
I'm looking forward to my vacation, but I need to make sure that I wake up early and I still work.
Yeah, because Maura,
I don't have time to lose a week.
Yeah, she's like at this. She's got this really great momentum going with her business. Yeah,
and it's one of those things, like when you're going for like a monthly goal, I'm like, I don't have 5 days. So I gotta like, but I still want to enjoy my vacation. So it's okay. I'll just get up early. It's all about the mornings, man. I'm telling you. Yep. I never appreciated my mornings. I would always make fun of Danny, remember? I would not make fun of you, but be like, I can't.
Right? I gotta sleep.
I'm like, I have to sleep, right?
Yep.
Of course, until my kids.
Make sure this is close.
Until I had two little kids, and then you appreciate 5 a.m. Great. And then you realize that it's the best. That's like the best time of day now.
It really is.
It's not even early enough at this point.
It's power hour.
Yeah. 4:30. Yeah. I literally call it that, power hour. I even get on a Zoom with my girls at 6 a.m. and we call it power hour. Like, we're like, let's go, let's work.
It really is the best, man. When you're with a team of people, like, you know, you can't expect everybody to have that same internal drive, and like having them watch you do it and then kind of putting them on the spot.
Yeah.
It's kind of like training wheels.
Yeah, it is. And they see, you know what it takes, and then they feel it. And then once they do it, they feel those good feelings because it feels great, right? It feels
great. Of accomplishment.
Yeah. Like, how many people can say, like, by the time it's like 7 or 8, I mean, me and Danny have done like several things. Like, I've done so many things. Like, so it just feels good to start your day, check things off, get things done.
Yep. Now, we have a really awesome guest with us today. But before we get started, I want to mention our podcast, our awesome podcast sponsor, Keto Brick. Robert just sent us 3 boxes of Keto Brick to take with us to Tulum. So I can kind of cut them up into little pieces and share them with everybody. It's going to be interesting because we got Spirit Airline tickets.
Great, Danny. Spirit charges you to breathe.
That's like awesome. Yeah, now another $500 for another bag.
We could have had it shipped there probably.
Well, we could still ship it there.
We should see how much it costs to ship it to the hotel, to be honest. Because the airline, you know.
And
you know my face. I'm going to be like, what?
Yeah, she's not good at hiding that.
And you're going to make me wear a mask. Awesome. You're the worst. Perfect.
Yeah. So you guys, I mean, I'm sure if you guys don't know by now about Keto Brick, go to ketobrick.com. They have 6 flavors. I want to say 6. If not, there's more already. But They have, I mean, cookies and cream, mocha, the original, peanut butter, the toasted almond coconut.
That's my fave.
Yeah, my fave too.
And I love the peanut butter one.
And the they had the coconut, but they don't have
chocolate malt.
Chocolate malt, that's the whey flavor, and the peanut butter whey flavor. So they got whey and vegan options, high fat, low carb. You know, it's not too much protein, but it's
there's
it's
nothing like it, guys. Honestly, yeah. There's nothing like it. If you have never tried it, you got to just try it. Because when people try it, tell me to explain it to them. The only way I can explain it, and you probably have to be Latin or be from like Miami.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe turron. Not. Turron. Yeah. And I don't even know how to say it in English. But yeah. It's called turron.
We eat it.
We eat it during the holidays. And it looks like keto brick.
Yeah. It's and the almond especially.
And it's such a great replacement too. Like, I'm going to pull that out. I'm not going to tell anybody this time.
Just make turron with
keto brick. I'm going to make turron. I'm going to. Chocolate, and be like, oh, here's the turron.
Yeah.
All the different flavors, and watch. I bet you nobody's going to notice.
Yeah. They're going to be like, well, I've never had this turron. It's
they're
so
like,
good.
Is this such a new flavor?
So, yeah, guys, they're awesome. They're 1,000 calories. So, like, if you're on a low fat diet, it's not a great thing. But if you're on a high fat, low carb diet, they're great. And if you use Vega at checkout, you have the opportunity to have a month worth of bricks sent to you. So
nice.
Make sure to do that. And thank you so much, Keto Brick. Now, let's introduce our guest. Now, I've been on his podcast, and this is the first time we have him here. I just realized that we had, I wrote myself a script for the Keto Brick. No, I just freestyled it. So yeah, our guest this week is Josiah Novak. Josiah is an American fitness coach, author, and speaker. His articles have been featured in Fitness RX publications, and he's been a guest on Mind Pump and the Order of Man podcast. That's freaking awesome. His mission with the True Transformation podcast is to inspire, educate, and inform listeners with the best health and fitness information on the planet. Josiah's company, The True Transformation, is designed to help you transform your life through the power of health and fitness. Josiah had his own transformation over a decade ago. So if you're just beginning your transformation, he was right where you are. Welcome to the show, Josiah Novak. What's up, brother?
What's up, man? What's up? Hey, I'm huge fans of yours. Like, I would say, I want to get this out of the way ahead of time, but I probably talk about you two to my wife more than anybody else.
Wow, dude. There. That's awesome, yeah. Man.
Because you guys have two boys like I do.
Yeah. You guys can be.
And you're both, you know, specimens, right? Like, I'm jealous.
We appreciate
like,
that.
If I was a girl, I want to look like you. If I was, you know, now I'm a guy, obviously, I want to look like me. But I always am talking to my wife about how you guys feed your kids, how you guys talk about your kids. Like, it's just awesome, man. You guys are rock stars.
Thank you, brother. That means a lot, man, because I had no idea. Like, you know how we always say, you never know. We sit in this booth here and we record these episodes. And unless we hear that, you know, I mean, we get the downloads, but we don't really get the feedback, dude. So thank you so much, man.
I know, it's crazy. Like, I feel like a lot of people love your stuff, right? Like, including like people who listen to my podcast or read my stuff. And then they're just so busy, they never stop and say, hey, I really appreciate your stuff. Right?
Yeah, like we're not looking for it, right? But like, it's good to know, because then it's like when you hear it, it's that little extra, like, you know, that little extra push.
Those words of affirmation, man. They're so
yes.
great.
Yes.
Yeah, I love you guys are great too. I mean, everything about what you guys have going on is phenomenal. And you're not afraid to talk about your faith, which is I love. I mean, I'm a man of faith myself. And nowadays with all the craziness we have going on in the world, it's nice to have people who are just not afraid to share what they believe in, man.
Yeah. Dude, that's
if anything, I feel I don't know. Not everybody feels this way, but for me, if anything, it's like, yeah, now's not the time. Like, if there was a time, now's the time, right? Like, because we're seeing what happens when people don't speak up, right?
Yeah.
We're seeing what happens when people don't speak up for what they believe in. And thankfully, Danny and I, we've had a lot of practice. People are used to us at this point. They're not surprised by anything we say at this point. But but even with my faith, like, I can't lie. Like, at the beginning, like, with my following and stuff, I don't know why. I was hesitant at first. I didn't want to, like, push anyone away. But then, I don't know, I just had, like, a moment one day where I was like, no.
Yeah,
like, this platform, if everything in my life is for him, then so is this, and it's gonna have to be for that, right? And
yeah, totally.
I've gotten so much good feedback. So
every time I sprinkle in anything about a Bible verse or just a belief that I have and anything, I always get positive feedback.
Always,
right? Nobody's ever like, oh, stick to fitness, bro. Like, Yeah.
No, never. And if anything, people appreciate it. Like I get messages like, I appreciate you doing that so much, you know, like using your platform.
Yeah, hit the unfollow button if you don't like it.
Yeah,
so totally, man.
We're not for you.
Guys, no.
Right over there. It's totally fine. I won't take any offense. Trust me.
None of us should ever take offense because guys, for real, like Jesus, he had 12 followers, remember? And one betrayed him. So
yeah,
a lot of haters.
Yeah, a lot of haters. Lots of haters, guys. So awesome. Yeah, we're pumped to have you on. We have a lot of good stuff to talk about, but we always lead off with the question, what is the most critical problem you're currently trying to solve?
Yeah, right now, my biggest focus is helping people crack the motivation code. All right. So in today's world, there's just so much going on. There's chaos, there's stress, there's uncertainty constantly. There's lack of clarity. There's lack of direction. There's lack of insight. It can be hard to get motivated to do what you need to do when you're being pulled in so many different directions, right? You're being basically brainwashed and purposely confused. And the number one problem that I hear from people that jump into our programs or connect with us on social is that, like, I kind of know what I need to do, but I just don't know how to get started. Like, I can't get motivated to get going. And so I'm sitting on the sidelines waiting for that inspiration, right? So I'm trying to teach people how to crack that code and hack their way into unlimited motivation. And that's really where my focus is right now. It's a big problem. And I think that cracking that and giving people insight into how our minds work and how we can utilize some of the hacks, if you will, to be able to tap into the motivation that is there, then ultimately we can get a lot more done. And we can also find more satisfaction and self-belief in the process.
Yeah,
man. I love that. And we're definitely going to get more in depth with that, because I know you're writing a book on it.
Yeah.
But let's talk a little bit about fat loss, because I read a blog post you wrote about it, and I thought I had a ton of good info, because we're always getting asked about, you know, like setting macros and calories and all that good stuff. And there's a million ways to do this, but I wanted you to just talk a little bit about a good rule of thumb for setting calories, protein, and then maybe you can talk about the power method.
Yeah. Oh man, this is what I love to talk about. Yeah. Fat loss, you know, it's crazy because we definitely live in a time where there's more information than ever before about fat loss. I mean, if you go on Google or YouTube and search fat loss, I think there's like millions and millions of results that pop up. But I feel like there's just so much information that it's paralysis by analysis, right? Everybody's chasing the latest shiny object. And there's been many fad diets that, and I say fad, I mean, it's been advertised
trend
is probably a better word. And my first goal with everybody that I interact with who's interested in losing fat is to help them understand the basics around nutrition, right? What governs every single diet under the sun, right? There is no exception to these, what I call the three main rules. And the first rule is calories, right? Your energy balance.
Yep.
You have to, and I'll give you guys a plug here in a second, because I love what you guys do with your programs. It's much different than a lot of the other people out there that promote keto or high fat and things like that. But calories matter, right? And until we have a good understanding of how many calories we're taking in versus what we typically burn, then we have a hard time understanding how fat loss works, right? Because in order to lose fat, you have to create an energy deficit. You have to burn more calories than you eat. And so what I was going to say about your programs is that I love how, and I've done my research, so I love how give people the direction on both calories and macronutrients, right? It's not just like, hey guys, cut out all your carbs, you're going to lose fat. Like, sure, you might, right? If you get lucky. It's not that simple, but you give them the details, which are so important and so crucial, right?
Yep.
Investing in those little details leads to massive return on your results, right? So you got to understand calories. The second thing is protein, right? You have to have sufficient protein. Now, there's obviously different trains of thought, different ways of thinking about protein in different circles. But I believe that you need to have what I consider to be sufficient protein, enough to make sure you're recovering, right?
Yep.
Make sure your appetite is under control. And most importantly, your health, right? Because protein is a vital nutrient for life.
Yeah.
Now, the third thing, and this is kind of where I might differ than everybody else. I believe, and I know there's the people that just say count macros, hit your macros, whatever, but I believe food quality is the third.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true.
And we'll get into it, I'm sure, but it's never been more apparent to me than this lockdown period of how important quality is, right? Versus eating, you know, stuff that might fit my calories or my macros, but isn't quality. It's processed. It's got a bunch of junk in it that I don't even know how to pronounce.
Yep.
I don't even know what's really in it half the time, right? That type of stuff doesn't make me feel the same way that Whole Foods that come from reliable sources make me feel.
Yeah, so I totally agree.
Food quality is number three. So if you get those three, and I tell people all the time, like, look, if you get those three right, you're like 99% of the way there.
Yeah, yep. For sure. You know what I mean? For sure.
Because then we can talk about carbs and fats. And most of the time I work with people that they emphasize fats, right? Because we're trying to control insulin. We're trying to control energy levels. We're trying to control mental clarity and focus and appetite and all those things. And then we get strategic with carbs, depending on the person's activity, depending on their preference.
Yep.
But ultimately that stuff is kind of secondary to those three things, right? The calories, protein, and your quality of food. That's where we start with fat loss, especially from a dietary perspective. And obviously we could talk about the power method too.
I love this. You got to.
I have a couple things. So the power method is now hand in hand with what I call the maximize method, right? So power method is a simple way of strategizing around how to set up your day to power you through a fat loss phase, right? So a couple things are having a power salad right in the middle of your day, where it's like high amounts of fiber or a filling meal, if you will, coupled with high amounts of fat and protein. It's a appetite stabilizer. It's also what I consider to be like a bridge meal, mm-hmm. right? But your day really should start with what I call the power hour, right? And that's where you fill up your energy tank, right? You either get your workout done, you get active, maybe you do some activity and some work to power through your day, right? So that you start the day with a win. I mean, a win is the number one way to start your day. People have all these morning routines, but yeah, I say, look, yeah, and there's no right or wrong to a morning routine, but what's ultimately the goal? Start your day with a win.
Yeah.
Right? Whether it's gratitude journaling, whether it's watching or listening to a podcast while you're walking, getting activity, and you have that power hours as part of your day. Have the power salad to get through your midday, right? Control your appetite. We're a big fan of fasting over here. Like,
same.
I don't think we need to be eating around the clock. That trains your appetite to be hungry all the time, right?
Yep. And so I just don't even think that's natural.
I can't do it anymore, brother. I can't.
Oh no.
Like, I was talking with Ben about this the other day, because like, out of habit, we've been eating like for the most part two times a day, and now I'm eating like two meals and a snack. But like, it's kind of also on the other end, when you only eat two meals a day, a lot of the time it's hard to have a smaller meal, because now you're used to having a big old meal. So that's the one thing that a lot of people, that if they're not eating, if they're only eating once or twice a day, but then they're trying to maximize muscle protein synthesis, they're going to have to pace that protein a little bit more.
Yeah, because the OMAD didn't work for me.
No.
I started losing muscle with OMAD because I can't eat like Danny. I can't get in all those calories.
I could get in 3,000 easily in a meal.
I could drink 3,000 right now. Like, no problem.
Yeah.
That's the thing too. And you bring up a great point. Everything that I try to talk about with people is not based around a dogma, right?
Yes.
Or a set belief. It is based around a belief that everybody is different, right? Everybody mm-hmm. does require different things, but within those differences are a lot of similarities too. So we can start to craft some overall strategies that will help most people, if not all people, right? Yeah. You just take what you will from that buffet of strategies and figure out what works best for you, right? But you make a good point. So like, if someone does prefer multiple meals a day, we have the power smoothie, right? It's another, and we're all about convenience, right? My methodologies or my ideas tend to fall into what's going to be convenient, what's going to be easier for people like us, parents, business owners, we run teams, we have podcasts. Like, there's other people who are even busier than me, and like, they can't sit there and cook a meal, you know, even two meals a day. It's like, they're lucky to get one meal cooked a day, right? Yeah. So we have liquid nutrition too, in the mid morning or mid afternoon, depending on your preference, that is easily digested, that gives you, once again, nutrients, right? Keeps you powered through, whether it's the morning or afternoon, but is so quick and easy to put together that you don't have to sit there and think like, oh geez, I got to cook this, that, and the third. It's like, hey,
I just gotta weigh stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, just throw it in a blender or shake it up in a handheld shaker cup and you're off to the races, right?
Yep.
Now, the last part of the power method is the power feast, right? This is where we wrap up the day. And I typically, my power feast at night is my largest meal of the day. Yeah. And it's somewhere between 6 and 7 o'clock usually. And this is where I get the rest of my calories in. And it's where if I'm eating carbs during a period of time, then I'll have some carbs with fats and protein, or if it's just fats and protein, then I'll have like a big steak with butter and like maybe a little bit of veggies, right?
Yep.
But it's enough to where people have the opportunity then to have most of their calories at a time where they're more than likely going to need them.
Okay? Yeah, that's so, when your motivation's lowest as the day goes through.
Yeah, man, you're tired. You know, people think motivation, once again, we're going to talk about it, but motivation and discipline, they think it's like unlimited. It's not. It's a gas tank, right? It does come down as you expend energy all day.
Yes.
So you get to the end of the day and you're like, man, I got 200 calories left. Like, that's my nightmare, dude. Like,
that's the worst.
Egg whites. I'm like, dude, there's no way.
And no, my meals are fat. And no fat. So you got to eat.
Yeah. Right. I got 50 grams of protein left. That's it. It's like, oh, geez, I'm screwed.
That's brutal. Yeah.
So I tend to make sure that my feast is at least 1500 calories, roughly.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, and now that's a lot, right? For a lot of people, that might be too much, but that's what I've established for myself as something that I know is going to both help me hit my numbers, but also satisfy me, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to go to bed. Now, sometimes during like a more intense cut or something that I am going to go to bed a little bit hungry, but at most it's manageable hunger. It's not like, oh geez, I'm going to eat, you know, my arm off or something like that.
Right.
Because I eat high nutrient dense foods, right? Foods that are satiating.
Yeah.
Try overeating a bunch of chicken thighs butter. It's good luck. Like you're
not going to
happen.
Yeah.
Or a steak even. Like when we go out, I'll order a huge steak and it's like, it's literally from one bite to the next. It's like a switch. Then I'm just like, and I'm done now.
Yeah.
You're just like, switch, done.
Well, that's a good point too, because eating these natural high protein foods as like the cornerstone of your meals, it basically turns on your body's ability to tell you when to stop.
Yeah.
Right. The processed food is designed literally from a scientific level and a level that which is like a almost scary level of addiction, where it's designed to make sure you don't want to stop eating.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like try eating, you know, I joke around all the time, but it's like try eating 1,000 calories from chips and 1,000 calories from steak. It's you're going to feel like you could just eat chips for the rest of your life, right?
Yeah.
And not stop. With steak, it's like you eat 500 calories from steak and you're like, "Ooh, man, like I'm starting to feel this, man. I got to slow down," right?
Yep.
So it gives your body its natural ability to regulate your appetite and whatnot. So that's the power method. We couple that with something called the maximize method. I won't get too deep on this, but we have five pillars that we help people master, and this is going to be more in my book, but we talk about mindset, movement, macros, or the food you eat, muscle, and then meaning is our fifth.
I like that.
So those are our five pillars that we couple with. The power method's more of just a step-by-step kind of a check the box in your day. The maximize method is overall. Yeah, it's like it's just a way of life, if you will. But we can talk more about that for sure.
I love that.
I love it.
I love that. So true what you say about the willpower too, right? That's why I get my work done in the morning, because I can't even like write an email sometimes at 9 o'clock. I'm like, this is taking me
my brain is trained to turn off.
So like, I can't even make a sentence. Yeah. Like, especially now with how connected we are all day, I think it's even worse.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, okay. So you wrote a book called Diet Suck, which I love that. I love that. As someone who loathes tracking, I literally loathe tracking. I'm always like giving Danny crap. I'm like, when are you going to stop tracking? Like when you're 90? Like, I don't get it.
Like, never.
It's like, but a game.
You know what though? The fact he likes it, right? So it's fine.
I like it too.
And that's the thing though. If you like it, it's fine.
Totally.
And that's what people need to understand, right? Like, I don't like it. So it's like,
well, he talks a lot about that. Like, the best diet is the one that you can stick to, the best lifestyle. Yeah.
So anyways, back to the question, but as someone who loathes tracking, I love the idea behind the title. What do you mean by it? And can you talk a little bit more about, well, you were kind of just mentioning that too, but like the four pillars of body transformation.
That might be different.
Yeah.
That might
might be different than your other pillars. Yeah, this is going to be different.
Yeah. So, well, it actually is about the same.
Build it.
Cool.
Yeah, we added a fifth pillar. Yeah. So the diet sucked though. The philosophy though behind the book is that in today's day and age, first of all, it's never been, I mean, if you can't see the obvious writing on the wall now, health and fitness is not a priority in this country and many other countries, right? And the unfortunate thing that's taken place, and once again, you guys are on the good side, but the unfortunate thing that's taken place is that the marketing behind fitness products, diets, has capitalized on the confusion and the lack of awareness around fitness in today's world, right?
Yep.
And so It's constantly misleading people. It's constantly saying, no, no, this is the right diet. No, 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 this is the right diet, right? And the frustrating part is that like all diets work. Yeah, like yeah. They work for what people say they
for
want.
For weight loss, right?
Right, for weight loss, right. Yeah. That being said, though, there are some things that probably won't work long-term for weight loss for most people. And Danny and I are like not from this planet. Like we like to track food. We like to count macros. Like we're not the norm, right? And I understand that. Like most people are like, yeah, I'll track for a little bit, but at some point this has got to stop, right? This is a nightmare. Yeah. I can't weigh everything out.
Danny would even track his cheats. And I was like, dude,
I just want to see how hard, I just want to see how hard I go.
Yeah.
Like, for him, it's like the number. Like he just is obsessed with the numbers. So
it's a game. I love it.
It's a game. It's
yeah.
A game.
Yeah. It's a great game too, to play at times. But you know, it's like people just get frustrated, right? Because they're like, well, I don't want to have to feel like I have to weigh everything out. I don't want to feel like this. But what I tell people is this: there's many skills that we've acquired in life, right? That we don't even half the time realize that we have, that initially sucked, right? They were like this annoying thing that we had to learn. For me, I remember typing on the computer, learning how to do that. It was like the worst thing ever.
The home keys.
But think about not knowing how to type on a computer now. Right. I mean, you would be lost in today's world. You wouldn't know, like you'd be totally done. You'd be so slow with everything that you'd be very frustrated all the time.
Oh my God.
So thank God I went through that. Right.
Yeah.
I tell people all the time, when you start tracking food, whether it's eyeballing portions or plate, you know, control, or we just stick to certain foods in certain amounts and we divide the plate by thirds or whatever, there's many different ways to track. The thing to remember, the truth is that your body's always tracking, no matter whether you are or not, right? Mm-hmm. So we can choose to track early on as a way of just saying, hey, I'm going to educate myself. I'm going to push through this discomfort for a small period of time. And then I'm going to transition into more instinctual eating, right? Where I've acquired the knowledge now. It's like typing. I don't sit there and go, okay, where's the J? Where's the K? Like, I know this stuff now.
Yeah, good call.
You can do the same thing with food.
Yeah, you can.
The best way to do this, and because some people are visual learners, some people are more like written learners, whatever. You can track in an app like MyFitnessPal, or I mean, there's a million out there now, right?
Yeah.
Take pictures of your food too, okay? So that you can start to visualize what certain amounts look like. So you go, oh, I, you know, like, dude, I bet you we should go on a game show or something where we have to.
We'll
like,
kill it.
Oh, I can guess.
We crush.
We'll kill it.
Well, also, that's why I feel like I don't have to track, is because one, I eat the same thing every day. And two, I literally can, I'm good. Like, I'll be like, that's 4 ounces. That's
You know, right? Yeah, you know. Yeah. And here's the thing, too. Like, I tell people all the time, small errors with tracking, like tiny errors, like, oh, you ate 4.5 ounces of chicken instead of four.
Doesn't matter.
It's not going to make a big deal. Where people get into trouble is they know how much certain amounts look like, right? They like peanut butter, for example. Like I know what a tablespoon is.
Oh, peanut butter is the worst.
So they do
offender.
A heaping.
Right. So they go, well, I'm just going to pretend that I don't know, right? Yeah. I'm going to pretend like I'm oblivious to how much, you know, peanut butter.
It's in a tablespoon.
If it didn't go in the MyFitnessPal, it didn't go on your body either.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Don't track it. It won't count. Yeah.
But diets suck. The name diet suck is that all these diets that are marketed to you are not teaching you these things we're talking about, right? They're teaching you like band-aid methods, right? Temporary things that are gonna help give you a result, and you're not gonna know how you got there. It's like the phrase of, hey, if I snap my fingers and gave you the body of your dreams in a split second, two things are gonna happen. One, you're not gonna be able to keep it because you don't know how you got there.
Right.
You have no idea, right? And you don't have the habits and routines to keep it anyway. This. The second thing is you're not gonna appreciate it.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, and good. Things we appreciate, we take care of. You know what I mean? And so that's the same thing with most diets, is they snap their fingers. You lose 30 pounds in 2 months, like the Biggest Loser or something.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, this is cool. But I feel miserable. I don't even know how I got here.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that makes things worse, dude. I don't even think we have a weight. I don't think we have a weight problem. We have a weight regain problem in this country.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest issues, is people know how to lose weight. They eat a little bit better. They move a little bit more. They lose 10 pounds. Doing some extreme, you know, way of things. And then they gain 20 pounds back.
Yep.
And they get depressed and they get just discouraged. And they go, well, I'm going to wait another year to try that again. And next thing you know, they're up 30, 40 pounds. And then it's
it
like,
gets worse
now
every
it's,
time.
Yeah. So one thing we talk about inside of our programs, and we can, I mean, I'm kind of all over the place, but the Diet Suck book that inspired some of these thoughts is that with a diet, a lot of people look at it like climbing Mount Everest. I call it this Everest mindset, where it's like, if you imagine getting to the base of Mount Everest and looking up at the mountain going, how in the world does anybody get up there, right? Like, you could be, you know, a freaking like superhuman. How does anybody get up there? And here's the crazy answer to that. One step at a time.
Exactly.
That's it.
That's it.
Yep.
And oftentimes that's, those steps are not taken daily. They might take 10 steps up that mountain and take a break for 10 days. There's a great book called Into the Mist, I believe, or no, Into Thin Air. That might be the, yeah, Into Thin Air is the name of the book. But it's about how these guys climb Mount Everest. And it reminded me of getting in shape, because people have this mentality that they got to do this crazy thing, when in reality, all it really comes down to is a step-by-step understanding and implementation of a process.
Yep.
Right. And that's over time what leads to dietary success, fat loss success, all these things. And diets these days, all the things we see out there, some of the information is great, but it doesn't teach you that process. It doesn't give you the education behind it. It just gives you a Band-Aid. It says, yeah, good luck. You'll be on to the next diet when we come back around a year later with a different marketing.
So true, man.
Yeah.
So true. And then, like, you know, I mean, getting into the details even more, like, you know, you mentioned the Biggest Loser. Like, there's, I'm a big believer in set point theory. You know, like, I just feel like the body's always, we know what it does. Like, it slows down your metabolism. It'll ramp up ghrelin, you know. And especially if you're doing one of these crash diets where it's like, we guarantee you, you're going to lose 30 pounds in 30 days or something, which probably true. But they're going to gain that weight back because their body's going to, their hunger's going to ramp up and their metabolism's going to be. So now your new baseline is like, you know, you're a 200 pound dude and you're eating 1600 calories. And then you go up to 2000 and you start ballooning up because, you know, your body.
Well, that was my problem, remember?
Yeah, because, it used to be like eating like.
Because I ate the wrong foods, I always had to restrict. So
yeah.
My body. And so actually, you'll probably appreciate this, but sometimes I do track. You know why? To make sure I eat enough.
Yeah.
So this is a problem women have, okay? And so sometimes I do track to make sure that I'm eating enough and to make sure that I'm not under eating, because it's so easy for me. And fasting, for, and now that I'm keto, like, forget it. Like, I never get hungry. I'm not really hungry, right? Like,
my hunger,
you know, I'm actually a little hungry right now, but that's because I just worked out. But for the most part, I don't feel hunger. You know what I mean? I feel low energy. Like, that's how I know I need to eat. I feel it more in my energy, but like, I will utilize tracking to make sure I'm eating enough. I will utilize tracking if I'm gaining weight or something. And I'm like, whoa, I got to just see where I'm at right now. I just got to, like, you know, kind of like to come back to baseline. Cause I'm just naturally intuitive.
Cause you have that baseline already. You have those processes in place that he's talking about.
Right. The processes in place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're down, like, You've graduated so many levels, right, in your journey and your life,
so
that
many.
It's so much, things are second nature to you now.
Yeah.
Right. Like, there's things that I do with podcasting, like if I have a guest on the show or something, that I've done 100 times, right? Maybe even more now, because I've been podcasting forever for the past 3 or 4 years. And so it's like, and that's not forever, by the way, but it's a long time.
Hey,
today's world.
Too, dude.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, it's funny. You say 3 or 4 years, that's like a forever thing now in 2020. People do things so such short periods of time now.
So true.
But it's like, I do so many things, and then someone who's new to podcasting, you know, might see something and go, oh my gosh, like, how do you do that? I go, I don't even know I did that. But that's the thing with fitness, is that you have to, I say variety is earned through consistency. Like, I tell clients this all the time. Variety meaning you get to try a bunch of different things because you have the consistency down already, right? Like, We teach people more advanced methods once they've learned calories, once they've learned quality food choices, once they've learned how to intermittent fast, how to eat 2 or 3 meals a day, how to, you know, make meals that are crazy healthy, that are easy and efficient. But we don't jump into like tracking fiber and tracking like vitamins and everything from the get-go, because that's overwhelming, right?
Yeah.
But tracking, and as a general rule of thumb, I like to look at it as a skill that you might need at times, right?
Yeah,
if you have a beach trip coming up, I think you guys might have something coming up, right?
Yeah.
You want to get lean, super lean, right? You go, okay, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to track. And it might not even be everything. You might just be like, yeah, I'm just going to track my protein and calories just to make sure I'm getting enough, right? And I'm not sabotaging my metabolism. That's because you got the skill in your back pocket when you need it, right? And I think more people need to understand that tracking is just developing a skill that they might need at some point down the road. Or, hey, here's another thing. You might need to teach this to somebody else, right? You might have a kid or a spouse or relative or something that's like, hey, I gotta get in shape. How do I do this? And you're like, well, hey, you're gonna start tracking your food. That's a good place to start.
Yeah.
people ask me, do you have any guarantees with getting in shape? I say, yeah, you track your food. You'll get in shape. If you hit your numbers, I bet my life savings on it, dude. Like, I have a friend and I stole his idea, but anybody ever comes to me and says, hey, I'm tracking my food and I'm not losing weight, right? Blah, blah, blah. I say, I'll fly you literally first class to my house. I'll put you up in a 5-star hotel. Only caveat is I have to monitor everything you eat, right? And we're going to track everything you put in your mouth. And I guarantee within a week, you'll lose some weight. If it doesn't happen, everything's on me. But if it does happen, you pay for everything.
Yeah.
So, because tracking, it works, man. Like, and yes, your metabolism, here's the thing. People get caught up to, and once again, I love talking about this stuff, but I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent. But people get caught up in this whole idea that tracking is guaranteeing them to lose weight. Well, no, tracking the correct numbers are guaranteed to lose weight. And your metabolism might require that you have to put weight loss on hold to build it back up before coming back down to be able to lose weight, right? But tracking gives you that data. Yeah. Like, you know, now you're not just guessing and then like, oh, gee, I'm hoping this works. Like, that's a terrible strategy, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Oh, I totally agree. As someone who doesn't love tracking and who doesn't track, I think most people should, right? Because again, not everybody is me, right?
Sure.
I eat the literally, I'm not joking, because I don't like variety. For me, it's about decision fatigue mostly. So like, I am a creature of habit. If someone invites me to breakfast, I'm like, no, because that's not what I eat for breakfast. I eat bacon and eggs. Sorry. You know, and so it's a little easier for me because I eat the same foods. So if I eat something different, I know. I'm like, oh, it was that. So, but most people don't. So I even tell people.
And you have food sensitivities too.
I'm like, you got to track at least to see where you're at.
Yes.
You got to at least see where you're at, right? So I'm like, just, you know, loosely track like at the end of the day, what you ate that day and just see where you end up, right?
Yeah.
Then you can go from there. Love that.
No, it's great. That's great.
The funny thing is that nowadays, because I last August, I didn't track for like 5 months, 5 or 6 months at least.
Was it that long?
Yes. It was great. And I was even starting to like think about with my coaching, I was like, whenever I had a new client or even with existing clients, I would, a lot of time I'd be like, listen, what if I just put your portions and I don't put your macros? Because I kept on getting frustrated with clients because they kept on telling me, hey, I entered in what you told me and the macros are coming out different. I'm like, don't enter it in. There's a million different entries. You know, like the bottom line is if you ate 6 ounces of this last week and I tell you to eat 5 this week, you know, like that's the only thing you need to worry about, you know? So it's just funny. Some people like it's better. Like I like that old school bodybuilding style where it's like, you're going to have 4 ounces of this, 50 grams of this, you know?
At this point, I don't even know.
They all say no to me when I say, hey, can I take the macros off and just do, because they're like, no, I want to know what the macros are. I want to know what the macros are.
Right. I honestly, you know what, that old school bodybuilding way, I like that because
you're
like, you eat 6 ounces of chicken, eat this.
Yeah.
You know, obviously we're going to give them different choices because we have, you know, other options, but it takes that obsession of the numbers out because the reason that I've always not liked the tracking is because for me, it's not about calories. I can actually overeat calories. I can, on revise, I can, and I'll be ripped. Sorry.
Oh yeah, for you.
Do you know what I mean? Like, a calorie is
a little bit of a metabolic advantage.
But there's a metabolic, like, I'm sorry, if I ate the exact amount of calories of donuts every day, I would be fat.
Of course.
Depressed. That's a
feel like death for sure.
Like, I would feel so bad. So like, and that's why I love that you say that and you have that pillar, because if you get that food quality thing down, you're
it's golden. A game changer.
You're golden. Yeah.
A game changer. My goals have shifted over the years too. You know, I used to be really caught up in aesthetics. And of course I think at the end of the day, I'll always care about aesthetics at some level.
Same.
yeah. I mean, it's impossible for me not to. Yeah. I think it's wired into us as humans, but my energy and my like overall feeling when I wake up every day is the most important thing, right? Like that is everything, man. And quality food is the only way to get those things optimized. Like you're not going to wake up, like I'll play around with this sometimes. Like I'll hit my macros or my numbers creating these recipes that are full of like processed stuff. You know, it's like a fight night or something and I'll make like, you know, like a chocolate.
Nachos.
Just to see.
Yeah. Like something that's like, you know, not necessarily the healthiest thing, but it's got the macros dialed in.
Yeah.
And I wake up the next day, like not okay.
Dude, it sucks. I'm 39, man. I'm gonna be 40 in 2 months.
I feel bad for days.
3 months.
Like it takes me days. Like I honestly, I have non-negotiables and people are like, feeling sad for me, I'm like, no, you don't have to feel sad for me. I love this life. Okay.
Yeah. Because I like feeling good.
I like feeling good. And to be honest, because they'll ask me about vacation, right? We're going to go on vacation. People ask me, do you cheat on vacation? I'm like, do I splurge or do I cheat? I'm like, I might have something because it's all about portion too. I'm going to have a dessert, but I have rules. I got to keep it for me. I have to keep it gluten-free because it's my vacation. No, I don't have 3 days to feel horrible on vacation. I don't want to feel bad on vacation.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to be running to the bathroom or something. Or like, for me, it's more of like, I'll have migraines. I'll get like, well, I just feel horrible. I'm like, no, I don't have 3 days right now.
I
know you come back from vacation needing another vacation.
Yeah.
That's what ends up happening. Alcohol is probably my weakness on vacation.
Yeah.
But that's because I'm not a big drinker. You'll never really see me drinking outside of vacation. So it's like, I'll do that. But then the food's kind of like whatever, because I'm just like not as mentally tied to it as I maybe used to be many years ago.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just because food quality has now become one of the cornerstones, right, of life. So
same for us. It's like, it's really good when there's no like low carb options, because then it makes it an easy no.
Yeah.
No, or even gluten-free, because gluten-free may not be low carb, but we'll still eat it because we know that we could eat it and not feel like crap.
And I might want to like have something like a treat or whatever, or treat myself one day, but it is also about the portion, right? Like, so that vacation's a great time too to do stuff like that, because these resorts, and we're starting to see more options, because the truth is everybody's sick. So
everybody's sick, so I got to give you.
So there is options now. There always is gluten-free stuff now, because there's a ton of celiac. There's a used sugar-free stuff. So
yeah, gluten-free is everywhere now. It's crazy. Everything's gluten-free.
Yeah, dude. So let's talk about this, man, because you and I haven't caught up in a while, and I just want to hear about, you know, your lockdown experience. You know, like what were the challenges? What were the biggest takeaways for you?
Wow. So right before lockdown happened, we were getting ready to buy a house, actually. Literally, our closing date was like the day they shut everything down in March.
Wow.
So both the sellers and us, the buyers, we both backed out of the sale. We had found our dream house, but everybody's kind of situation was thrown into chaos. We didn't really know what was going to happen. All the gyms I'm partnered with around here shut down. My wife's hair salon that she runs shut down. You know, it was just nightmare. So we were in limbo, living with her family for a very short period of time, just trying to figure out what to do. But I will say, man, and I wrote this on Twitter yesterday, is that after going through the past, what has it been? I guess 7 months now. Well, we bought a house a couple months ago, so we're in a new house. Everything's awesome. But 2020 has been the most mind-blowing and eye-opening experience of my life.
Me too.
Same.
And I've never felt more aware.
Awake.
than I do right now.
It's shocking.
And this is coming from a guy who, by the way, I have never cared about politics. I've cared about God. I've cared about my family, cared about fitness and my clients. And that's really all the energy that I put towards. But this year has woken me up, man. Like, and I'm not saying I'm a political like guy now. It's just I've realized how much is actually going on.
dude, that was so hard.
Unbelievable, man. Like I've basically look at 2020 as the biggest blessing I've ever experienced because of how awake I feel, right, as the leader of my family. And also, man, just the opportunity to help other people has been so great. Like, it's been such a huge, huge opportunity to donate, to tithe, to do things that help some of these people stay afloat right now. But 2020 will be a year that I don't think any of us ever forget, man. But there's been many challenges, man. I'm happy to like get into it. I mean, my kids have been home.
How's that been? Were your kids in school? Well,
yeah.
You're the little one. So your 6-year-old was in school. So now they're home.
Yeah. They were both in school they went to private preschool for the past couple years. And it was great. I mean, it was like right across the street. Just, you know, I was spoiled, to be honest, right? They had great teachers, great friends.
Yeah.
Everything was awesome. And then all that comes to a quit. And all of a sudden, everybody's home. Two boys who are a year and a half apart, like, they're trying to kill each other, you know, every 2 seconds. Everybody wants to do different things, right? It just starts to become chaos. A lot changed overnight, you know? So, and the beauty of it, too, was that, well, the beauty of it, I guess it's a beautiful challenge, but it was like I had prayed for more time with my boys, right?
Yeah.
It's funny how God gives us what we want, but he doesn't tell us how.
Yeah. He was like, oh, you want more time with your boys? How's 24 hours a day sound? I was like, oh,
locked up. How's locked up?
Yeah.
Right. Right.
You guys actually can't go anywhere.
Right. How's prison break sound? It's like, okay, I don't know. But yeah, so it's been epic. It's been, you know, tears and yelling and screaming, but also laughter and so much fun. But I think, man, like I said, if nothing else, we've come out of this closer as a family for sure. I mean, we're
same with us.
Now it's like when I think about them going back to school, I get kind of sad because I'm like, dang, like I like hearing them, you know, wrestle in the room over for me, you know,
like you
miss that.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man.
And you also, I'm sure, like with us, like we had all these creature comforts that we just took for granted. And we're just like you take those away and you're like, huh, I don't need that.
I love that about lockdown. Let me tell you, like, well, I can talk to you about this too, because, you know, you're a believer. And so there's just been so many things that have happened to like prepare us all for this. Like,
oh yeah.
First of all, in January, Danny and I did a secular music fast. Like, we've never done anything like that. That was completely eye-opening for us. Like, really shocking with the music industry and stuff like that. Like, now I imagine trying.
It's hard for me now.
Imagine trying to go back, right? Like,
oh man,
To certain music, you're just like, whoa, like awake, right? Like you said, awake. And there was all this like prophecy, and everyone was talking about how 2020 is going to be the year of the believer. And it is, though.
It is.
Right? Like, it is. Like, it's like, this is what they meant. It's not what we thought, but this is
right.
What they meant. It's just amazing. So,
yeah, my business, thank God, you know, I was called to take my business online a few years ago, like exclusively online, you know, not doing really anything in person anymore besides, you know, seminars and stuff like that, gyms and whatnot. But it's all online. And it was like, I was like, I'm just blown away. Right, by the fact that I had that opportunity, which of course then presents opportunities to help others, right? If you're given this blessing of like your income doesn't change, everything's cool, well, guess what? It's time to start looking for opportunities to give, right?
Yes.
So I've been focused on that heavily, man, like the past few months especially. And it's just crazy. Like, you give without an expectation to people who need it, and God just blesses you.
Always. Right?
So much more in return. Like, it's
every time.
Insane.
Every time.
You know, it's funny though, I joke around, like, my life didn't change that much with lockdown, besides my kids being at school, because I'm an introvert by nature. I enjoy being, you know, alone at times, quiet thoughts, those type of things. I'm not a big drinker, never really would go out that much. My wife is more extroverted, likes to go out, have fun. So we would balance each other out in that regard. But being at home doesn't bother me, right? I actually am a homebody by nature. I like being home. So the whole lifestyle of like, oh, you can't go out, you know, I was like, you know, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'll be all right.
The gym. Like, the gym was the only thing, because I
she was legit depressed.
Well, because I literally, like, I do not like.
Yeah, what we have here is just not.
And it's not just that. It's like, the reason I go to the gym, it's not for the vanity, right? Like,
it's not just the awesome equipment.
Mental break.
Mental, yes.
For the disconnect. So
getting away from the boys.
When I'm in the garage, I mean, forget the fact that my kids are interrupting me every 2 seconds, but I can't disconnect, because I'm like, oh, we got to organize this thing right here.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's just like looking at all my chores, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I can't get into it. And then it's like, and then I don't have my weight. So you can't even compare. Like,
I know.
Like, 45 minutes of bands is not even compared to me lifting what I lift.
Right. Right. I'm with you on that. As soon as the gym's reopened here,
I was the first one.
I was back. Yeah.
Same here.
I was like, I ain't scared. Here I am.
And we even got the virus, dude. We got it like 6 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea. Yeah. Oh, that's good. So you got it over with.
Yeah, we got it over with.
I would have never known I had it, okay?
Like, yeah.
Right, I know. It's.
He
it's
said
like,
the keto flu
the
was
keto
worse.
The keto flu was worse, okay? You know they talk about the keto flu?
Oh, yeah, I've had that's the keto
way,
flu.
That's I'm way more scared of that. And I'm more scared of the flu, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think, we could. I have to be careful what I say, because.
I know.
I get. My wife tells me, you know, like, sometimes you come across as like a total know-it-all. And I was like, yeah, it's because I do know it all.
Because nobody else is looking into this stuff like that.
Yeah, I know. Because I'm like, no, it's funny though. You're right. Because what is it? I think 4 out of 5 people. And I'll say this too. Like, I am super sensitive to the fact that there are some people out there who've suffered from it. Right.
Oh my gosh.
Just like, but here's the thing. Like people, people need to wake up and realize that every year, you know, people suffer from things like the flu, right?
Yeah.
And by no means am I saying this is the flu, but I think it'd be irresponsible to say that we don't see anything like this at all. We do. It's not blasted in our face. I mean, could you imagine
if they did it with flu season, we would be worried too.
I hate getting germs. I'm a germaphobe. I wash my hands. I do all that stuff. I've done that for years. My wife is even worse. Like, she likes to keep a clean house. Everything's germ free as much as possible. We know it's impossible, but I go to the gym, I leave the gym, I wash my hands, right?
Simple. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, imagine if just, you know, for people listening, because I'm empathetic to anyone who has had a hard time with this thing. For those of the people who are just living in fear, though, understand that that fear is generated, right, by a bigger system.
Yeah.
And imagine if every day you got a list of, hey, here's what you could die from today. Oh, here are the chances.
Yeah.
Cars.
Well, first of all, getting in the car is way more of a risk than anything.
People die from so many things, and I guess we're a little bit different, because I don't fear death like maybe the next person.
Same here.
Right. Mm-hmm. And this is not to say I want to die, by the way. I have no interest in that.
Kids are at least 18.
Yeah.
Just let me get through until they're 18. I want to make sure they're all
set. I want to live to.
But
the thing is, we got to remember is that there's a couple of things going on. One, nobody's really talking about how to really fix this thing, which is, by the way, get healthy. Like,
yes.
that's how you get your immune system ready to battle anything.
Yep.
Cause there's going to be other things that come down the pipe.
Yeah.
But this whole thing, I mean, 4 out of 5 people who get it, are asymptomatic.
Yeah.
I mean, I know hundreds of people who got it, hundreds. And I would guess 95% said it was mild to no symptoms at all.
Yeah.
So what that tells me, if I'm the logical person, is that first of all, so many more people have had this than even they even know, right?
Yeah.
Like so many. And this thing's going to run its course.
Like
that's what's going to happen. It's going to run its course. If you are worried that you have multiple issues that might lead you to being at high risk, those people need to be protected.
Yes.
And then the rest of us need to get back to life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. 100%. And that, if some people hate to hear that, like,
and with sound logical,
it's so logical. But logic in today's world is like you automatically get put in a bucket of like you're a hateful person.
You're a Karen.
Yeah.
It's actually crazy. They call us. They call themselves woke. Isn't that crazy? They actually steal our language.
Yeah.
I think because ultimately this is, once again, it kind of relates back to fitness. Is people, a lot of people search for an excuse to not do something. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I have friends and even relatives who were making more money with unemployment checks than they were at work. Right. And I said, you know what? That's cool. Like, hey,
stimulus.
Do you, right? That's great. Do it, whatever.
Yeah.
But those people that own the businesses that you work for, they're struggling. Like, when you do the research on how economic disasters kill people, like you talk about suicide, depression. You talk about poverty and starvation, like
abuse.
Every 1% increase in unemployment is an extra 40,000 deaths.
And did you see the numbers recently on child abuse? How they've gone up?
Yeah, I can't even.
Like, what are we even? So it's like, okay, we focus on
for us and our nice families. That's cute that we're all locked up together, but that's a nightmare for a lot of kids. We're locked up with their abusers. And not just that, even if they weren't, maybe they were only verbally abusive before, but guess what? Now they lost their job.
Yeah.
They're drinking. So maybe now people became abusive, because it's like you have angry, jobless people with nothing to do, eating trash, drinking, because the liquor store's open, right? Not the gym, can't go to the gym.
Yep.
I've yet to talk to someone who, okay, so everybody who because I like to look around and just kind of stay in the shadows sometimes, like watch what people say, because I like people just to bury themselves and like, it's good because it's like, hey, you're showing me exactly who you are, right?
Yeah.
So everybody who has been vocal about locking down the country and making sure that we're safe and nobody should go back to work, nobody should do anything, right? Every single one of those people have a couple common denominators. One, they have a lot of money.
Yeah. Right?
Yep.
Number two, they have stable, quote unquote, essential jobs, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And they're not dealing with these issues that we just talked about. So it's like, and look, I could easily be one of those people. I have an online business. I have no drop in revenue whatsoever. In fact, we've had our best year ever.
Awesome.
I have a network that can help me out if I ever needed it. I have an email list of thousands of people that I could sell something to, right? But I am not saying, oh, shut everything down. You know, we should focus on lives, you know, not taking care of people's, you know, economic health and whatnot, or mental health. You know, geez, these are huge issues, right? And by the way, these were huge issues not that long ago that the same people who are clamoring for lockdowns were clamoring to fix.
Right.
The Me Too movement, right? Abuse.
Yeah.
Like, hey, that's going on like you wouldn't even believe now, because people are stuck together. So it's like, what are we doing, man? Like,
yeah, dude.
I'm a part of a new movement called the Common Sense Party, man. It's like, if you want to get on board, let's do it, right?
And we're all a bunch of Karens, apparently.
Yeah, we're jerks. We're assholes, right?
Pardon
my French.
Yeah,
it's fine, but like, how dare we want to breathe, right? Like,
yeah, how dare us want to make sure everyone's taken care of, not just the 0.003% of the world, right? It's like, and by the way, these views are shared by most people, I feel like.
Yeah.
But it's just, you will get canceled or yelled at or screamed at if you talk about these things. And it sucks, man. It really does. I just try to come at it from a place of love, where it's like, look, I'll do anything to make sure that I can help my neighbor and my fellow man, right?
Yes.
Yep.
I will protect you from any possible germ. If you're at risk, I won't come near you. I'll wear a mask. No problem.
Same.
But I'm also going to show up and provide for my employees, right? I'm also going to I want people to get back to work. I'm going to go buy stuff from my local small business owner as much as I can.
Yes.
Because that person has kids and that person has a family to feed too. And you know, like I said, we talk to people so much. Like, I have so many people that I know that got this thing, right? I know literally one person that died, and they had three comorbidities, right? They were obese, they had cancer, diabetic, right? So yeah, so they had those three things, which, that's terrible, man. Like, it's awful. But I also know like hundreds of people that got it that didn't even know. They were like, yeah, I had a headache for like a day and then it was gone. Yeah. Like, that's not a reason to stop everybody's life. I mean, that's just, it's not, man. So
totally.
Yeah, I'm passionate about it. Comes out.
Dude, listen, we're right. We are on the same page, bro, for real.
Let's keep going. Speaking of the lockdown and uncertain times, you are writing your new book on that.
Yeah.
You know, all three of us, we've had our share of crappy weeks, feeling blue. I personally lost the whole month of April inside the conspiracy rabbit hole.
Yeah, that was crazy too.
Which is completely traumatizing. Like, I think it's good to know things and be awake, but like, you can't just get sucked into that stuff, right?
Oh, it's, yeah.
Personally had a big depression relapse that lasted, of course, like I said, until they opened our gyms. Like, I honestly did not feel like a normal person, so I went back to the gym. And a lot of people have understandably lost motivation. It's a challenge when you're on a roll, right? Like, not everyone's like us. We can't just get back into it. You're in your routine and then all of a sudden that gets turned upside down. So what would you say to those who are like trying to get re-motivated during these crazy times of uncertainty?
That's such a powerful question, because this doesn't just apply to fitness, right? This applies to, and I'll share something that I've never shared publicly before. It's because I think it applies perfectly to this discussion. I have suffered for many years from anger issues, right? Because I have come from a very abusive family. My parents were very physically abusive. Wow. I suffered not from wanting to physically abuse someone, but just from outbursts, right?
Yeah.
Like rage, you know, you get frustrated about stuff, you know? And one of my mentors, Garrett White from Wake Up Warrior, talks about rage, right? And how it actually is from suppressed anger. Mm-hmm. Which is, anger is from suppressed irritability. Okay. So you get irritated by something, you bury it, that becomes anger. You get really angry about something and then you bury that, and then you rage, right? You freak out, you scream, you yell, right? You punch a hole in the wall or something really crazy. Not cool, right?
Yeah.
So I took it upon myself to get help, and I hate it because I'm an introvert. I don't like talking to people about my problems. Like, I would rather just hold it inside and go, no, I got this, right? So I went to a therapist and I started getting help, and it helped so much. Like, it helped so much, right? But the hardest part of doing that was actually doing it, right? Once I got into it, like a few minutes into the conversation with my therapist, it was like amazing, right? Yeah. It was awesome. Like, I felt like an hour went by in a blink. And so it started to make me think about all the things we don't want to do that we're just waiting to get motivated to do. And I knew that if I didn't do something about my issues, right, then that could lead to major disaster. I have a horrible relationship with my kids. I maybe get divorced or whatever, right? I got to get on that. So I have to do something, but I'm just not motivated, right? Like with fitness, I don't want to face medical bills down the line. I don't have a heart attack when I'm 50. I don't want to be overweight the rest of my life. Like, I got to do something, but I'm just not motivated because life, right? Stress, job. We live in a society that only cares about your 9 to 5, or it's really like your 7 to 7 now, but your 7 to 7 and what school your kids are in and how much money you make. Right. So it's like, oh, I feel so stressed all the time. Of course. So how do we get motivated? Well, the truth of the matter is you're not going to get motivated by sitting around. You're not going to get motivated by waiting on motivation. There's a simple hack, and it's what I call the 10-minute rule. And it's become like a hashtag in our client groups, where when we don't want to do something, but we know we need to do it, there's many things that could fall in that category. Could be a hard conversation with your spouse, could be saving money, could be doing your finances, could be going to work out. There's a million things. It's back to the Everest method that I mentioned before, where we look at the task and we go, that's a mountain that I'm just not sure I can climb. I don't know if I don't even think it's possible. You know, if I got a budget, like, dude, that's a lot of work, right? Like, holy crap. How does anybody do this? Well, for one, they don't do the whole thing like in an instant. They literally take it one small chunk at a time. So the 10-minute rule says that when you don't want to do something, but you know you need to do it, the commitment that you must make, this is the hard part. You must do 10 minutes of that thing.
Yeah.
That is the bare minimum, all right? Here's what ends up happening. We'll go back to fitness, but let's say you don't want to go to the gym, but you force yourself to go to the gym. You're like, oh, Josiah, Danny, like they all said, like, go to the gym, whatever. I'm going to go to the gym. The rule is this. You do 10 minutes of what you don't want to do, which is workout. And then after 10 minutes, you reassess how you feel. If you don't want to keep going, you have already won the battle for the day. You forced yourself to do something in a small amount that you didn't want to do. That's building a habit. That's building more momentum. So if you don't want to keep going, then you say, you know what? I'm going to come back tomorrow. I'm going to redo that 10-minute rule. I did what I had to do today. But more than likely, and this is what I've heard from thousands of people we've worked with, you want to keep going, dude.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yep.
Like the therapy,
once
right?
Once you get started.
In, yeah, I'm like, dude, this is a breeze. Okay. 6 hours. Like, this is freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like an avalanche of feelings just start coming out. You're like, I love this stuff.
Right?
So it's crazy, right? But our brains, you know, we have two brains, right? I'm sure you've heard of this before, but we have the emotional brain and the logical brain.
Yeah. They call that the monkey brain, right?
Like the limbic
brain. Monkey brain. Yeah. And the emotional brain is like the elephant, right? In the car with the little tiny guy in the passenger seat, who's your logical brain, right? And people think like my logical brain's in charge. It knows what to do. I am so smart. Wrong. Your emotional brain is actually in charge all the time.
Yeah.
Your logical brain is like the little negotiator that tries to talk you off the ledge, right? It's like, dude, don't eat those donuts. Like, that's going to kill you, man. But your emotional brain is like, dude, these are going to taste so good for the next 5 seconds, right? That's what happens in all our decisions. You know, I don't want to go to therapy because I'm going to be embarrassed and it's so frustrating. And, you know, like, yeah, my emotional brain gets scared. My logical brain's like, dude, if you don't go to therapy, you might like hurt somebody, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you got to do something about your anger, right? And that's totally part of the game. So we have this battle that takes place in our own head. So what do we got to do? Well, we got to have tactics, right? We got to have a tiny, quick, easy, but powerful tactic. And I always say, and I stole this quote from somebody else, but you invest a little, you earn a lot, okay? And what that means is you do something tiny, like a 10-minute rule, you earn these massive results. You don't invest a little, you lose a lot, right?
Yeah.
You can lose so much if you don't do that tiny little thing. And so when I was thinking about what I wanted to write, you know, with this book, it was like, how can I communicate to the person today who's got so much on their plate, wants to get it done, but just doesn't know how to like trick themselves into doing it? And this is the best I can think of, right? Because this is the only thing, action precedes motivation. People think it's the other way. They think motivation precedes action. I get motivated, then I do the work.
I always tell people that, dude. I get so motivated after I'm done.
Yes.
Like, so motivated. Like, I'm motivated.
Best part of my day, or I joke around people. I say, look, I hate running, okay? I hate it. Because in the middle of your run, you're like, oh my God, like, am I done yet? Like, it's like, no, I got another 2 miles, right? Like, geez, this would be nuts, right? The best part of the run is the end. That's when I'm ready to go run again.
Yeah. You feel like you could run forever.
You feel so good. You did it. You have what is technically called self-belief, where you believe you can do something again because you've now achieved it. So self-belief leads to momentum. Momentum leads to results because you're doing things easier and it's moving in the right direction. And then all of a sudden, because habits and routines, like, they take time to change. They take time to create. You know, if you've ever read the book Atomic Habits, you know it takes time.
Great book.
Yeah, great book, right? James Clear, great author. Shout out to James. But
and you talk about, they talk about belief in there, like with AA. Yeah, AA. That's what they say. Like see other people doing it, you see that they're it's working for them, and that belief, you start to have that belief.
Yeah, totally. They told us, they're like, if you don't believe, believe that we believe.
Yeah. Yeah, and like so the Everest method too, because I talk about it in the book a lot that I'm writing, but the Everest method, you know, to climb this mountain of yours, whatever that is in front of you that you want to accomplish. People who climb Mount Everest, they don't do it alone, by the way. They do it with a guide.
Yep.
Yeah, they do it with multiple guides, typically. Co-pilots, right, who are right there along with them on the journey. They do it with other people who have never done it before or are very inexperienced in that process. They stop. They rest. They sometimes take steps back to reassess and realign. And sometimes they have to be flexible with how they get to the top. And then guess what? This is the best part. When they get to the top, they still got to come back down, right? Which is, by the way, the dangerous part of climbing Mount Everest.
Yeah. Yeah,
really?
The most dangerous part. Yeah. Coming down the mountain is actually more dangerous, where more people have died.
Of course, it's your going up. There's probably I would be scared to go down.
Yeah. As soon as I read that, I was like, this is fitness, dude. This is so fitness right now, because people lose weight. They figure out, oh, I can say no to that food for the next 30 days. Like, okay, I can do it. They get there and they go, whoo. Back to normal life, baby. Let's go. Right.
Yeah.
You're like, no, it's like watching someone come down the mountain. You're like, stop. Dude, like it's all going to get ruined in a blink. Right. So we have to have strategies for that too. But it really all starts with a tiny commitment. That question of how would you, if you had to eat an elephant? Well, gee, I don't know. What do I do? Well, you just do it one bite at a time.
Yep.
That's it,
bro.
You know what I mean? So that's what the book's all about. I think it's powerful. Because our core belief is that fitness is the lowest hanging fruit to improving your entire life, from your spirituality 100%. To your relationships to everything in between. So everything I write or talk about, I try to relate back to real life, because I understand that I'm a fitness freak. Like, I love fitness. Like, I would do this for free. Like, I would be on the show. I'd do everything for free 100%. So I'm weird, but I know that a lot of people have a hard time.
Same with us, man.
Yeah, we're all weirdos, right? We love it.
When people tell me they don't like to go to the gym,
yeah, are you crazy? Like, I'd rather go to the bar than the gym. What? Like, I would live at the gym if I could.
I would live there.
Yes.
Like 2 hours goes by way too quick. I'm like, I need more time.
Yep. Yeah. And then they're like, 2 hours? What are you talking about?
Dude, Lifetime, I would be there 3, because then I would do the sauna.
Lifetime's like, it's like a maze. You get trapped.
You're and
like,
then the kids are taken care of, and they're like really well taken care of.
Yeah, they don't want to leave either. That's happening.
Yeah, exactly.
My kids get pissed when I pick them up from the gym daycare. It's like, no. I'm like, I swear I don't want to abuse my kids. They just don't want to leave because this place is so awesome.
Oh my gosh, that's so true. I haven't thought of that.
That's so true, man. Oh man, dude. So listen, when that book comes out, we gotta have you back on, man. I'm
yeah.
gonna read it, dude.
Yeah, talk about it.
We had a great conversation. We cover a lot of stuff. But I want to just ask you, where can people find you online? And if I want to ask you this, if there were one course or one program that you would recommend that they should check out first, what would it be?
Well, to be honest, it'd probably be something that's completely free, because it'll get them started.
Oh, good call.
Yeah. And it would be my Look Good Naked. It's clickbaity, of course, but it'll get you hooked into philosophies that we teach. And then once you've built up some trust with us and you're ready to invest, there's many programs and coaching offers that we have, but I'll give you two places to go. You can go to lookgoodnaked.co. It's a free 20-page guide on how to set up everything that we teach. And then if you're interested in our actual programs, you just go to my website, thetruetransformation.com/coaching, and you can check out all the stuff that we do. In terms of finding me on social, it's just at Josiah Fitness on pretty much every major platform. Our podcast, and I'll have to have you both back on, because I didn't realize you guys were like a tag team now. This is so cool.
Yeah.
The True Transformation podcast is where you can check out our show. We actually do 3 episodes a week now.
Wow, dude, you're freaking working.
Quick. Most of them are quick, actionable, bite-sized, 10, 15 minutes long. And then we throw in some interviews when we have awesome people like you guys on the show. But it'll keep you engaged for, quick hitter, and then you're on to the rest of your day. That's it, man. But hey, I appreciate you both having me on. This is such an honor, man. You guys are so awesome in what you do, and your results from your clients are just epic. So it's just so cool to share some time with you guys.
Thanks, brother. It's great to have you on too, man. We'll definitely come on. And like I said, keep me posted on that book when it comes out. We'll definitely.
We're targeting in January for the book. So I'll make sure you guys have copies, and we're targeting the new year so people can kick off the next. We'll see what 2021 brings.
Get it right this time. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure there was so many. Oh my gosh.
The memes are going to be epic.
I know the memes are going to be so good.
But my favorite meme is when it says the clock hits midnight at on New Year's Day or whatever, like on New Year's Eve, whatever term is. And it says it goes from 11:59 to I think it says like it's like weird, like 11:01 or something. I don't know. It's like a weird meme, like the time doesn't go to the next day. You're like, no, we're stuck.
Oh, it's still 2020. But what I was saying, like, I can't imagine, like, imagine all the people that started like their New Year's resolution and then COVID hit, they're like, forget this, forget it.
Oh,
I'm gonna just be fat again for another year.
Right.
Another year, huh?
Yeah.
Another year gone. Worst.
I mean, it's crazy. You know what's weird though? And like, I know we're wrapping up, but I will just say that it's crazy how fast time has still flown by, right? Like you would think,
yeah, man.
Like it's gone. I was like, really? It started in March. Oh my gosh. Like it's just, it's wild when people, you know, when I say and other people say like time doesn't wait on anyone.
Nope.
It's so true. Like it goes by so fast. It's just insane. So yeah, I pray for all the people out there struggling, you know, and I always open it up to anybody who, if anybody needs anything that we can do, like, please just reach out. We'll be happy to either find a resource or donate, whatever we can do. But it's a crazy time for a lot of people, and I'm totally empathetic to that. So,
yeah,
love it, dude. Well, brother, awesome. Thank you so much, man. It was great having you.
Yeah, thanks again for having me, you guys.
Yeah.